August to September, 1977. Folder 36. 3618. Dream. Opening huge carton and taking out large electronic artifact. Below it is a solid wall, a rectangle of beef. Under it is every kind of religious Christian writing imaginable. Even sentences covered, steganographia, by a glued-in paper strip with a replacement sentence. I try to interest everyone in the theological material. But they are like the harness bull who preceded Sergeant Kelly, totally uninterested. It is as if the religious material is crazy. There is no reconciliation between the world of nature, represented by the huge rectangle wall of beef, and the layer of religious information under it. The implication is that if you believe in the reality of the wall of flesh, Sarks, you can't see any sense in the religious info below, and the wall of beef is certainly real. You have to believe in it. But on the other hand, what is the relationship between the wall of beef and the great electronic artifact? As between the religious writing and the wall of beef, there is no reconciliation between the wall of beef and the artifact. I am sure that the religious writing equals the computer-punched tape in Electric Ant, and the computer of the Persis 9 in Maze, which can't be read intrinsically, but which gives rise to the world of flesh or nature, which again, in turn, gives rise to the artificial world of mechanical electronic constructs. Three levels or layers are represented. No one wishes to take seriously the deepest one, except me. The logos, the word, is represented. That which is written gives rise to the living world, creatures, nature, which in turn gives rise to our artificial environment. If we place ourselves in the top world, artificial construct, we are totally walled off, have no knowledge or contact with the logos substratum, nor, if it is called to our attention, can we see any merit in it. If nature is real and rational, logos is not. It is even hard, if not impossible, to comprehend nature when one starts with artifact, which is given in the dream as the starting point of view. Nature itself is difficult to explain. How does it relate to artifact? But at least it isn't crazy, the way logos looks. But put another way, logos gives rise to artifact via nature, a fascinating thought. So the origins of the technological world, the manufactured, the constructed, lies ultimately in a sort of hidden punched-out tape, just as the false world of Delmac O arose from Persis 9's computer. Nature, the world of flesh and nature, totally hides the true origin of artifact. It is by a thorough study of the relationship between nature and artifact that the relationship between logos and nature can be understood. As logos is to nature, nature is to artifact. We live somewhere between nature and artifact. Never, as the Persis crew never suspected while in polyencephalic fusion, suspecting logos. What the dream reveals is not just that we, like they, have a punched-out computer tape programming us, but tells, too, that it is Christian, in fact, biblical in essence, i.e., Christianity is our punched-out tape. All the thousands of large written pages of books which I saw, the books themselves, were our punched-out computer tape, i.e., the source of our natural living world, which totally obscures its origins, causes. Given a random fistful of the ribbon of info, we can make no sense out of it. The fascinating thing is that a glimpse of our punched tape exhibits to us nothing that makes sense. We do get glimpses of bits of it, e.g., the Bible and apocryphal books. Even more revealingly, as TV image is to human, human is to logos. I should examine the profound implications that the Maze model of punched tape programming simulating a shared reality is an accurate model of our own world. Such a model, with Christian archetypes as the punch-outs, would go a long way to explain what I saw in 374 on. Plato's eidoloi theory must be modernized. Put another way, Plato's concept of the real world of forms was a primitive, pre-technological attempt to describe what is more accurately described by the logos theory, which resembles what I described in Maze. But look, logos, the punched-out computer tape, resembles the world of artifact more than it does the intermediary separating world of nature. As in a chicken is an egg's way of producing another egg, artifact is logos's way of replicating itself. It could even be argued that we, all living creatures, are primarily carriers of information, the DNA coding. The artifact nature logos layers dream suggests, not just that an informational world underlies the opaque surface of the natural world, but even more specifically, it is the Christian Holy Spirit-inspired scriptures. These texts are not a description of events past, present, and future, i.e., of or about reality, but the cause of reality. Evidently, this verbal information consists of a series of ideas, Plato's, which, when thought by Zebra, are printed out in our world throughout its linear time length, not a space-time X and or Y, but throughout, i.e. as always enacted, i.e. always present, being from outside time. I have the impression that a particular story is being told. Repeatedly? That which Daniel tells of Babylon, and the giant with feet of clay, etc. In this apocalyptic book, the basic archetypes show up, but there are additional themes in the New Testament as well. This is why material from Acts, as well as from Daniel, show up in tiers. The deepest level of reality, an informational verbal one, is what is shown in Ubik, helpful, guiding, and informing words rising, as it were, to the surface. Logos rising up into nature. Is it not a super extraordinary idea that the deepest level of reality is verbal? But the reason for this can be found in the Hindu view of immanent mind. The words are the thoughts of the immanent deity. Then were the great pages of writing which I repeatedly saw in 374 the thoughts of Brahman, i.e. Zebra? Human history is the story which he/it is thinking. But the real human history is that of salvific activity, especially the second and first incarnations, which consist of the thinking deity entering his/its own dream story as the protagonist, and once in it, he/it falls victim to its laws, including injury and death. If Maze is retained as the paradigm, he is the only one of the 14 members of the settlement on Delmac O who remembers their pre-polyencephalic fusion, and hence, who knows that Delmac O is a totally illusory world, Maya, Dokos. This certainly indicates that my anamnesis was due to the active intervention and theolepsy by Christ, taken over by him at 374. I saw logos penetrating up through and into, and to an extent replacing, nature. The landscape of logos is biblical, e.g. Rome, early Christians, God breaking through into time, etc. I did not see an earlier form of nature, but the timelessness archetypal landscape of logos. It certainly is odd, i.e. an odd coincidence, that in Maze I assign to the Mentifacturer the power to roll back time, though. However, a closer scrutiny of the Delmac O world in Maze would show that he has that power due to the illusory quality of that world. Perhaps if it were real, time, even by God, could not be rolled back. Put another way, if you discover that, in your world, time can, I guess by God, be rolled back, you can correctly deduce that your world is illusory. And then, what is exposed when that time by the deity is rolled back? I discerned a landscape of apocalyptic biblical archetypes. Presumably, that world, like the control room of the spaceship Persis 9, is the real world. It is not just an infinite series of illusions. The logos generated a world so substantial, so to speak opaque, as to conceal it, logos, totally. If I am correct about all this, then I say the first advent was a palpable breaking through of the supreme entity, mind, i.e. holy wisdom, of logos into nature. The sole time it took place, conspicuously. But in 374 I was shown, in my own novel Tears, a breaking through of info from logos right on past nature and into artifact. In artifact, there is such a vast component of verbal information that info properly a part of logos blends invisibly in. All the Acts and Daniel, the dream stuff in Tears, is a perfect example of that. I virtually conclude that logos deliberately evolves, programs nature forward toward oral speech, then writing, and at last the sort of titanically verbal informational construct world of the computer, etc. Artifact becomes more and more like logos. It is thought producing thought through the intermediary stage of flesh, body, material nature, a replication, a giving birth. Is this not a description of the first advent, and more so the second advent? Logos thrusts through nature and manifests itself in artifact, for mostly in the scriptures, but not limited to them, as Tears testifies to and as Ubik depicts. And now I'm beginning to include Maze. Holy wisdom exists before all creation, i.e. the material universe. Then it creates or helps create the material universe, i.e. nature. Then it incarnates in nature, but expressing itself verbally in terms of thoughts, words, concepts, etc., all of which add up to holy wisdom, which is its essence. But nature does not find it acceptable. It is killed and returns to logos from whence it came. However, it will try, incarnate, be born, in nature again as a means of raising artifact into an authentic replication of logos. Zebra, which I saw undergoing metamorphosis, invisible to us normally, is evolving on logos, but will eventually invade artifact, assimilating it to itself and infusing it with essence, reality. This means that nature is nothing more than a means to an end. A sentient being, Brahman, is giving birth to sentient being, artifact, which nature is not. Nature must be regarded as a womb, receptacle of being, a kind of hatching egg. The living, sentient product of this egg replicates the parent of the egg. Thus, I say, the ubiquitous immanent being of logos does not divide, e.g. binary fission, etc., but creates an intermediary and perhaps temporary state which, in a certain literal sense, is not truly real, except as a source for what ultimately will be real, artifact. Artifact certainly resembles Tehad Dushadan's new sphere. We can expect nature to be generating progressively more replicatory aspects of its own source, logos. The ultimate true birth is exactly what is depicted in Ubik, the wise information breaking through reality, through nature from logos. Thus, artifact will more and more resemble logos. Nature will be effaced by the logos qualities of artifact. I foresee in all this eventually a final absorption of nature entirely by artifact, so that logos and artifact are joined directly as a monism. Our first intimation of this elimination process would be the abrupt first incarnation into our nature world of the embodiment of logos itself, a sort of leap over nature, more breaking through. This can be expressed two ways. A. A weakening of the reality of nature, i.e. the natural environment or world. B. As nature becomes less real and more dreamlike, less substantial, fragments of logos would appear in, break through into it, surfacing, as it were, swimming to the surface of nature, but not actually being a part of nature. These bits would be X contours of logos's topology, Y, verbal bits, which would be closer to the heart of logos. A and B. The combination of these two processes would produce a stability of the, so to speak, amount of ontological essence of the empirical world. But continually, there would be a cryptic or subtle metamorphosis of the world as nature aspects lessen and artifact grows. The ratio continually changing irrevocably in the direction of logos intruding and nature diminishing. Our lifespans are too short to experience this metamorphosis, except that the rate of acceleration of artifact is now conspicuous. We are not aware that artifact is not merely a product of nature, but rather also a thrusting through nature of logos. Artifact must be regarded as logos ultimately restated. The material universe is a temporary expedient, the egg between hen and hen. Artifact finally will be identical to logos as near as I can discern, whereas nature is a polyencephalic delusion. At least it is becoming so now. When artifact is completed, it will be the new heavens and new earth, and that which will never enter the mind nor come up into the heart will have been nature. It is interesting that the Corpus Christi, completed artifact, must pass through nature rather than springing directly from logos. Not only the things, objects of nature, are turned into a womb by logos for artifact, but the sentient beings of nature are so used, i.e., the Holy Spirit possesses them the way externally zebra transubstantiates objects and processes. What I saw in 374 Rome is a vivid example of logos showing through nature to artifact. If by artifact you mean me, the new self within me perceiving, finally, its origin, its home, logos. And even the BI prison I had been was there too, as an early Christian, the Atman fusing with the Brahman. Artifact fusing with logos and bypassing nature. So nature is identified as Maya. So I ask, where in artifact is logos being primarily born? I'd have to answer, most likely, in the most sentient part of artifact, which could well be human minds, insofar as this planet is concerned. This makes of each of our heads a receiver transducer of emanations from logos. If we evolve far enough, we, perhaps suddenly, hear and see past nature, thick as it is, to the words, books, and pages of logos. However, I am speaking of conscious reception. In point of fact, bits of logos are forever ubiquitously reaching us, subliminally embedded in and indistinguishable from info in artifact, deriving out of nature. What must be remembered is that the vast gulf between artifact and nature is equally great between nature and logos. In certain respects, logos would resemble artifact, i.e., verbal material, but it would seem to be nuts. Crazy, cryptic, verbal material, as inscrutable as the punched tape intrinsically in maze. Under very unusual circumstances, a person might lose contact with nature and relate directly to logos, but this would amount virtually to a trip ahead in time, because the delusional nature is still with us, still a barrier between artifact and logos. If for any reason a person saw through nature and related to logos, he would be in the strange position of experiencing the distant past and future simultaneously. A. He would see as still extant ancient archetypes hazed over in nature. And B. He would in his own time experience what for other people would only come later, when nature peters out entirely. At first, he would recapitulate the past, then phase over into prophesized events, i.e., to end-time events. The whole story being narrated or thought by the deity would disclose itself to him. And oddly, he would be deluged with books and pages of writing, since the apparatus he was plugged into is primarily computer-like, teaching machine, and library-like. The Bible is a fusion of logos, nature, and artifact. Of most use is that of a doorway to logos available to minds locked into artifact, read in a way excluding nature, to which it unceasingly relates. The time rate flow of the Bible is the true time rate. That of nature is not, is diluting in fact, giving a spurious impression, record, of a great deal of passing time. Piercing by artifact to logos, or by logos upward into artifact, it is between 70 to 90 AD, i.e. just following the first advent, and just before the second. My God, the Bible is the story which the punched computer tape of logos is printing out via nature, directly fulfilling artifact. I can deduce this from the biblical elements in E.G. Tears. It is logos incising onto artifact via nature. Tears is a mixture of logos and artifact. The only other way the elements of logos could appear in my writing would be racial memory. But the racial memory would deal with realm logos underlying nature anyhow. So just the why, not the what, would be changed, i.e. the reason I linked up to logos directly bypassing nature. To sum up, realm nature is being spun or woven into realm artifact, which is a replication of realm logos, which is doing the spinning and weaving. So the material universe is a womb in which a single but three-aspect vallus is replicating itself. That which the material universe will give birth to is the offspring of the original sentient entity, but probably the entity and its offspring will constitute one single realized organism, not two, since it is self-generating. That entity or offspring, which it will produce, then, is itself. We see the universe backward. The Creator lies at the end or omega point, forming, directing creation teleologically from its outcome backward.